Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to another episode of Blockchain and Beyond. As always, I'm your host, Farzan. On today's episode, I'm joined by a very special guest. Her name is Rach, and she's joining me all the way from Australia. So, Rachel, if you'd like to just introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, guys. My name's Rach. I run Land of Allegra, a small project on Algorand blockchain, and I'm really happy to be here and to chat you all.
Yeah, no, thank you for joining me. I know it's almost quite late your time and it's a bit early my time, but hey, we make it work. So Land of Allegra, you reached out to me a couple weeks ago, and I took a look at a project and I was like, hey, this is something which is really, really cool. So I think just to kind of sum up the project, it's kind of like storytelling and world building with a playable NFT aspect to it as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. So yeah, it's got like a fantasy setting, which I really, really like. And there's playable aspects and there's readable aspects, and I've read the chapters which are out already, that you've written, and I'll leave a link to those somewhere for everyone to check out. But I was like, I really like where this is going, so I definitely need to have a chat with you. So for everyone listening, what's kind of your background? What kind of got you to where you are right now?
Yeah, such a hard question. Because everything brings you to where you are right now, yeah. Right? But what were the key parts? So I am a stay-at-home mum at the moment, to two kids that are not yet at school and are therefore under feet all the time. And I wanted something to do while I was on maternity leave. And at the same time, I started dabbling a little bit in crypto. And I had a lot of fun in the bull market and did some swing trading and felt really cool and very intelligent, even though you really couldn't lose at the time. But I didn't know that, so I thought I was really impressed. So, got some experience that way. I found Algorand and found the community and started recognizing names in Discords and on Reddit and feeling like it was just a really amazing space and like I wanted to contribute something to it. And then when it came to finding a project for myself, I looked to my own background, which is in writing. So I studied creative writing at university. That was my major. And I have done some freelance writing ever since, some creative, some nonfiction, and finished a novel that's not published yet, but hopefully will be. And then this is hopefully going to be my second novel. So Land of Allegra, which is, as you said, Farzan, a fantasy-based novel, sort of in that borderline adult, young adult age group aimed. So it's not, I don't really do dark and twisty. Like there's bad guys and there's problems and there's, you know, tension, but I'm not a horror person. I think there's enough horrible things happening in the world and I like to read to escape. So that is what I am, offering.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think personally for me, that sort of young adult genre kind of speaks to me as well. It's kind of like the coming of age where, you know, the main character usually has sort of like a big issue that they need to kind of overcome to kind of find themselves. And in that process, you know, they make friends, they find themselves, usually end up finding out some secrets that they probably didn't know from before. And that's the sort of stuff I really like. And you're right, you can get lost.
Are you sure that you've only read what I've published? Because it sounds like you've got the story nailed.
I mean, I've read a bit, but yeah, no, you get to pick up themes even just from reading a couple books. You know, you get a really good idea of what to expect almost. I want to touch on a point that you made about Algorand, and I'm pretty sure I asked everyone did this question. You mentioned that, you know, the community was great, but like what else kind of drew you to Algorand?
Yeah, so I when I started in crypto, I knew nothing. So I signed up on like five different exchanges based on where I could find a referral code that would give me like $10 on Reddit. So like I knew nothing. And the one that I ended up using the most, just because they were the quickest to like process my application, was Binance. In Australia, Binance works. I know for a lot of people in the US, it's absolute trash, but it was really good for me. I didn't want to invest or even dabble in any chains that used proof of work. So I'm very eco-conscious in my life and relatively left-wing in terms of environmental protection and nature. I mean, those themes come through in the story that I'm writing as well, that importance of respect for the natural world. And I didn't really want... I mean, sometimes you can't help doing something that is not great for the environment. But when there is a choice of alternatives, I would prefer to choose the one that is better. And so the first chain that I really started dabbling in was actually Binance, the BSC, rather than Ethereum or Bitcoin. And I, you know, I have a little bit of Solana and a little bit of, I had a little bit of Terra, Luna.
Yep.
A few different ones, but Nano and Banano, played that game for a little while. But Algorand just seems to kind of have the tech. Like, it, if you look at what the blockchain is supposed to be, it feels like Algorand is kind of already there. Like in terms of, the carbon emissions in comparison to other chains, the speed of transactions, the low fees. And I'm not saying that there's no other blockchain out there that can do the same thing, because goodness knows there are lots and I have not looked at all of them. But what I found here was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the general theme I'm sensing from everyone, is everyone stays for the tech, effectively. Everyone hears about Algorand, they actually come and use it, they see how fast it is, how cheap it is, how it kind of solves all the problems that the other blockchains, you know, have presented. And once people are in, you don't really see people leaving the ecosystem. Everyone's like, yeah, no, I love it here. Like, sure, it's a bit different, you know, smart contracts aren't in like Solidity, they use like Teal, which, you know, takes a few extra steps, or, you know, takes a bit more learning, but people are willing to make the effort for a set of technology that actually works.
I think it's really nice to feel like the community believes in the tech. Like, I mean, not to say that there aren't people here to make money, people get into crypto to make money, but like, everyone's really willing to help and willing to share and willing to explain and willing to engage. So it felt not just that the tech was really good, but that it was actually really accessible to someone who had very little background in it. Mm. And that was really important to me.
Yeah, no, the community is super standout. I don't think there's no one I can say who isn't able to help you. If you just reach out to people, they will either help you themselves, or they will tell you who can help them, or they'll send you links, YouTube videos, whatever you need to actually get going. And that's probably one of the strongest things, especially in if you just take a look at the market now, right? It's the community which kind of helps hold you together, and, you know, makes you feel that everything is going to be fine. And it takes a bit of the stress out of it, because, you know, everyone's going through the same thing and everyone shares the same kind of feelings. And it just makes the whole, you know, transition through these tougher times, even in the real world, not just in crypto. You know, there's a lot going on in the world where the community actually kind of just helps you feel a lot safer.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the community is so key for moral support and emotional support, and goodness knows we're all so tied up in this space that what happens does affect our emotions and our mental health. But I think also that underpinning of great tech is a firm, rational base to our belief. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think if you're in a chain where you don't believe in the tech, it's very hard to assume that it's still going to be there in 5 years. But like when this bear turns back into a bull, like the tech of Algorand is still going to be there.
Yeah, no, definitely. So touching, I guess, moving back to Land of Allegra, let's talk a bit about the playable NFT aspect on your Discord, right? So do you wanna talk through how it currently works?
Yeah, so it's a little bit complicated, because there's sort of three sort of branches to the project. But if we start with the Discord game, or the playable elements, basically you if you have a character NFT, that you can be Miranda, who's my main character in the novel. She's a stone mage, and I'm just in the process of releasing the second character. So there's going to be a series of five characters, each of them with a different magical affinity. And at the moment, what you can do with those characters is you can explore the world. So you can sort of explore and you can choose a location in the world to explore, and there will be an adventure. You can sort of, you effectively roll a dice and you find out whether you succeeded at your adventure or not. So, you know, maybe a young boy is hungry and you have to decide whether you steal him an apple, buy him an apple, ignore him and walk away. And then you find out what the consequences of that choice is. So sometimes you roll well and the little boy is saved and everyone's happy and fed. And sometimes you take him home for a meal and he picks your pocket on the way. Like, so there's, you know, it actually really surprised me how many people choose mean things. I didn't expect people to choose mean things, but they really do. So that was quite funny. And you can also quest. So you can send Miranda out on a quest and, you know, someone might send her off to Mount Fire to find a sunstone that's needed for a healing ritual, and she pretty much always gets attacked on the way in quests. So she has to like fight off a desert cat, or you know, she's attacked by a trio of bandits, and you fight, you lose health points, you mostly win, sometimes you die, and then you have to heal yourself, basically. And in that process, obviously, hopefully you enjoy the story, hopefully you enjoy the world building, but you also gain experience points, you can level up that character NFT. And you can sort of choose where to allocate that experience to. So you can level up your intelligence or level up your attack, your defense, those sorts of things.
Yeah. Probably a tough question, but is there any plans to turn this into like a full-on game?
So the short answer is no. Okay. So the idea is for it always to be, I mean, I don't know how you turn it into like a full-on graphics game. The aim is for it to be very much a text game. So eventually the plan is for it to turn into like a choose your own adventure. So this is like the sequel almost to the novel that's being written.
Mm-hmm.
Is like at the end of the novel that's being written, that's like the backstory. That's how Miranda gets to the point where she's more aware of the world she's in. She's more aware of her place in it. She's more aware of the things she wants to change and more confident in herself and her own skills. And then the game sort of starts, and it's a choose-your-own-adventure story that's got sort of 30 branches along the way and the different outcomes you can reach. And over the course of multiple of those choose-your-own-adventure stories, your aim is as Miranda or Sam or Jeremy or one of the mages to effectively restore the balance of that magical world.
Okay.
So eventually I would love to take it off Discord and make it like an online game.
Yeah.
But it would, I can't imagine, I mean, I learnt to code specifically for this game, so I can't imagine the sort of tech steep learning curve it would take for me to turn it into like a video game. I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, no.
If someone like him was like, I'd love to do it for you, I'd be like, hell yeah.
You never know, maybe someone will reach out to you. No, you mentioned, or as a text-based like adventure game, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're basically like these like books, and at the front there's like a character sheet, where you write down like your stats and whatever, and the book is basically like a series of like numbered paragraphs. So it starts from like 1 all the way to like 1,000, and every time you pick an option, it'll be like turn to like paragraph whatever, and that would basically just like result in different outcomes. And that's kind of the vibe that I got from playing it on Discord, right? It's like a short piece of text, and then you have a decision to make, and that decision ends up leading to, you know, some sort of outcome, and where there's almost some sort of risk attached to it as well, because you obviously don't want your character to die. which seems kind of sad, but yeah, you don't want them to die. But what does happen if the character dies that you're playing?
Well, you should feel really bad.
Okay.
But no, nothing. So your health points go to zero, and you can't play again until you restore the health points.
Okay.
So the way you restore the health points is you can purchase a healing tea. Now at the moment they are all, like, you do that with the in-game gold that you earn, that's sort of an in-bot currency, and you can purchase the healing tea for that gold that you've earned. You can actually withdraw those healing teas as NFTs, and you can trade them amongst yourselves and sell them. That's not a problem, but I only sell them for the in-game currency.
Okay,
that's cool. And Miranda drinks the tea and has her health points, gains 100 health points, and can adventure again.
Okay, that's super cool.
Yeah.
So where can people actually read your stories? because I know there's ASA Spindle, which is one of the websites. Yeah, do you want to?
Yes. That is the best place. So Spindle ASA is the where the text is hosted. Obviously, also, you can buy the chapter NFTs and you can unlock the content behind them. So that's all hosted and the information's in the description of the NFTs where you can go to unlock that content. But at the moment, that's where you can actually read the whole text. Once it is not in draft form anymore, so it's really weird for me releasing. I mean, they're written, but they're not finished. So I don't know how many people who listen have written stories before, but your first draft is so rarely your last. So one of my favorite things to do when I was at uni in creative writing was read like a novel, one of the texts that we studied, and then read the drafts from that author. So some authors published different variations of their work, and the level of complexity and interest and character development and expansion of the world from the beginning to the end is phenomenal. As someone who was interested in writing, it was fascinating to me to read the first draft and think they're not very good, and then read the last one and be like, wow, like they won a prize for this novel, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And to realize that there's so much work involved. Mm. Like it doesn't come easy to anybody. And so I think that's one of the really cool things about having it all on chain, is you can actually see that first NFT, and when the book is finished and edited and redrafted and had structural edits and copy edits, see the finished product, and that's actually viewable by everybody,
yep.
Not just someone who's studying at a university and has access to the journal mm-hmm. articles and whatnot.
Yeah. No, that's cool, and I can follow along with that, especially when you read back on your drafts, right? Because any piece of writing, even if it's academic writing, you write something, you come back to it a week later, and you're like, why did I write this? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't flow. You know, it doesn't add up. And then once you compare your first draft to your finished piece, it's literally miles apart.
Absolutely. And I do think it's especially obvious in a long form, like a novel. But I think even just in writing a resume, like, mm-hmm. you know, your first draft is not the final thing you send off.
Yeah.
It's quite vulnerable releasing something that I know has errors and I know is not the best that I can do. But that's part of bringing people along on the journey with you.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, so the Spindle ASA platform, I think that's kind of like, when I looked at it, I was like, this is such a unique way of kind of like storytelling and story writing. Because from what I read, is this text hosted on chain?
So the text on Spindle is not on chain. So the text, like the NFTs unlock the content, so that there's wallet checks to unlock the content. But that text is not on chain. That's on Spindle.
Okay, cool. But yeah, no, it's like it's almost like a platform, to actually upload your stories and to get eyes on it, and it also just lets you support the writers super easily as well, and there's quite a lot of different stories on there which are all pretty good, so I think I think the platform itself is something that's fantastic. Really new.
Spindle, so I'm actually on the team at Spindle as well, not to deviate too much from what I'm supposed to be talking to you about, but it's a really cool Land of Allegra. Initially came from the idea that not all people are lucky enough to be able to be creative. It's a real privilege to have the time and space, even to be able to take maternity leave with my kids and have that space. That's something that not all people can do. And crypto and the global community involved in crypto really made me think about the privilege involved in my own life. And so it was something that really interested me. How do you give equal opportunity to all creatives?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you give all people the opportunity to be creative? And so that was kind of what started the whole idea for me of fiction on chain. And Spindle is one part of that. So Spindle has been lucky enough to receive a grant from the Algorand Foundation.
Yeah.
And part of that is going towards getting smart contracts for royalty payments to go out. And so part of the Allegra project, I don't know how deep you dove in on the Discord, but is that early supporters who own the chapter NFTs at a later date, we'll be able to exchange those for effectively, I'm still working out all the legal side of things, but effectively membership of a profit distributing cooperative, which in Australia is a legal entity that you can join. You're a member, so you're not sort of an owner, you're a member. So it avoids all the SEC stuff. Mm-hmm. And what that means is you own effectively a part of the book, but you've had to pay for it bit by bit. So you have, or the purchaser of those NFTs has had to take the risk alongside the author, and the author has been paid little bit by little bit.
Yeah.
So the idea is that if it works, if enough people support, if the concept works, people, they sort of support you, but then they get the benefits at the end of the royalties, and the author shares the royalties with them, because otherwise the author has no incentive to continue writing, to continue world building, to continue promoting. But it's a way of making it accessible, because most people can't take off 6 months or a year to write a good quality novel. Yeah. Whereas this way you're getting a little bit of payments along the way, and people, a community to share that risk with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's quite a different approach compared to what I think is kind of like traditional publishing, right? Where you kind of go with a piece, and then it's up to the publisher to say if they like it or not. And it can be, you know, quite a lengthy process trying to find a good publisher or the right publisher who kind of agrees with what you want as well.
Absolutely. And it actually almost goes back pre-traditional publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at some of the early writers like Dickens, who wrote serials in newspapers, and it was the popular vote that meant he was so well respected.
Yeah.
Or you look at Shakespeare, who was, you know, performed just in like on a weekend, people went down and had a beer at Shakespeare. Like, or even if you go to more literary inspirations like James Joyce and Ulysses, he had a collection of, they called them patrons, people who sort of paid for him to live and work, and then he would send out copies of his book to them. So it's sort of in some ways like a, well, it's back to a more decentralized model, because there was less centralized publishing pre the publishing houses.
Yeah, no, I think that the concept of it is pretty standout. And I guess it kind of just goes hand in hand with the idea of blockchain as well, right? Where everything's decentralized, where everyone can partake in it, where everyone, you know, takes a bit of the risk, but, you know, they also have to invest in the projects they want to support. They can't just expect to be there, you know, at the end, and they kind of have to follow through with the projects from the very start. And, you know, that in turn means, you know, supporting, you know, the writers, you know, saying, oh yeah, this was really cool, we love this, you know, we don't really like this, or whatever. To kind of build up a community around, you know, whatever it is you're building, because that's probably one of the biggest things for me, right? If you're making something, is having people around you who also support and enjoy the thing that you're doing.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of where the inspiration came from, looking at what the NFT communities have done for artists compared to, you know, putting your pictures on Fiverr for $6, you know, having communities of people who are interested in supporting you and interested in your work and engaged with you and sort of saying, oh, you know, I didn't like the layering on that one and that trait's my favorite. And having that feedback, even aside from the financial support, having the moral support, the interest in creativity, which is often such an isolating task, is really, I hope that over time that becomes more integrated into narrative and storytelling as well.
Yeah. So touching on some of your plans going forward, you mentioned that this is, I guess, probably free alpha, is that there's some updates coming out to Land of Allegra this week?
Yes, there are. So I'm still bug testing some of them, so I'm hesitant to promise too much. But we're having a community event starting on the 10th of July, which is the 9th of July for many people because I am in Australia, so we're kind of from the future. So that's sort of where, rather than you playing on your own and your character Miranda, you know, being pickpocketed or taking a nap in the forest or getting attacked, whatever, you play as a group. So there will be like one clue given to the whole group and sort of a few decisions to make as a group. But there's also a command where you can get your own sort of clue and hint of what you should do next. And eventually it's going to lead to a wallet phrase, a secret key. So whoever gets it first wins the prize. I recommend, if you actually want to win it, probably making a team. So you've got a few brains going on there. But yeah, so that should be really fun. So this is my second community event. The first one was a choose your own adventure story. And the group, we had about 50 players in the end. That was the first one. And that group wrote chapter 5. So whatever the majority chose in the Choose Your Own Adventure was the path that I took the chapter. So that was really fun. So this one, I'm hoping I'm a little bit more experienced and hopefully it's a little smoother. Yeah. But yeah, I'm quite excited about it. And in sort of concert with that, I'm also releasing some bot updates. So things like the level up system should be going through ARC 69 updates mm-hmm. as of the 10th. There's going to be an update to the questing system so that you can equip items and have magical attacks, not just fighting attacks. You'll be able to, those traits that you choose for your character are going to start affecting your roles. Mm-hmm. So if you choose to upgrade your intelligence, next time you choose to read a book for the answer, you're more likely to find it. Whereas if you keep on upgrading your attack, well, you might do better when you're questing and fighting off that desert cat, but I hope you don't try and sneak across a bridge because you're not going to make it.
Cool. No, so, that, yeah. I really like the community events. It kind of brings everyone together. Everyone who's interested, everyone just comes together. You know, you get to see or speak to kind of new faces. And, you know, you mentioned it last week, kind of directed which way the chapter went. I think that's like kind of peak community integration, which is like probably something that keeps more people involved because everyone's like, okay, now I'm invested in this because, you know, I've made a choice and I can actually see it come to like fruition.
It was really nerve-wracking for me, actually. Like I had the whole choice tree written up with the scenarios and things, but people kept choosing things that I didn't expect. So like, there's this one scene, I don't know, I don't want to give away what happens in the chapter, but luckily only like 3 people chose to like attack the little old lady and the rest of the group decided not to. But I was like, when the first person attacked her, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to make Miranda in the novel attack a little old lady and people still like her? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, it's really fun. It's been really fun.
Cool. I think we're probably about ready to wrap up. So where can people find you and your work?
Yeah, so I do have a website, but it's a work in progress. So the Discord server is the best place. I don't know if you can put a link somewhere there.
Yep.
Or you can read the text on Spindle. I'm in 99 servers on Discord, and I think 97 of them are Algorand-based. So you can also just search for Rach. And if you have questions or want to get in touch, or you can follow Land of Allegra on Twitter, I'm really happy to chat to anyone, to chat about my project, to give advice if you're keen to do something similar. It's been a massive learning curve. As I said, I've been in crypto for like 7 months. I started coding for this project. If anyone has questions, like, I'm really happy to offer some of the assistance that I received forward.
Cool. I'll definitely leave links to your projects and your Discord in the descriptions or wherever is suitable. From mine, just thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. It's quite a different project, which is nice to see, and I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's quite exciting.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's all from us. Thank you to everyone who's listened. If you do have any questions, feel free to, you know, reach out to me or Rach. I'm sure she would be happy to answer any of your questions. But I guess until next time, thank you and goodbye.